Everyone, this is a traffic and safety meeting on May 18th. All right. Thanks, everyone, for coming. Can we start with a roll call?
Here.
Right. First order of business is to.
Try to mute your mic if someone's on.
If anyone's on a laptop, maybe John, is it you, John? Maybe if you can mute on your end, John, it seems like we're getting some feedback.
Just muted. I'll mute again.
Oh, how about now? Oh, whatever. Be at work. Yeah, I think it's gone.
I have been muted, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think it's you, John. You're up.
No, but I'm barely hearing Peter. He's muted as well when he speaks.
We're getting microphones on here, and we'll try to speak into the mic so you can hear.
Thank you.
First order of business is to approve the minutes. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes? Okay, please. You get extra credit for being honest. So we'll just need to make that adjustment on the minutes.
Okay.
Whoever was just had come through, just to let you know.
Say that again, John.
Whoever made a motion and seconded it, I didn't hear anything.
I think the...
I have the mic on now. Can you hear me?
Kim made a comment to just adjust the minutes to reflect that she was not present for the last meeting. So with that change, can we take a vote to approve the minutes? Would that change?
Move.
Yes.
Commissioner Chase?
Yes.
Wait. Common?
Yes.
Osco?
Yes.
Okay. So we have Anna Marie Romero here. I think I was driving up Thatcher and I saw a bunch of pole mounted signs, but go ahead. Is there more to do up there? So if you could take the mic just so John can pick up what you're saying.
Most of you were here last time, but the ladies were not. Glazier at 1111 Thatcher. I'm at 1035 Thatcher. Another neighbor, Kathy Klein, at 939 Thatcher, have been meeting. We have also met with departments, including at your last meeting. And since then, we brainstormed some with Kathy Adusi, O'Shea, Greenwood, I think that's it. Three of us were there. So, what brings us here is that you remount the radar sensor moved from 939 Thatcher in the fall of. You probably have petitions for you. At least 11 of the 12 residents, Thatcher. One resident did not sign, not because he or she said no, but do you have those petitions?
Yes.
Okay, so you've seen those. In the meantime, I have also spoke to neighbors on the 1000 block of Thatcher. I've been there since 84. Donna, as long or just about as long. So we're asking you to remount it, not to put a new one in. We're asking you to simply remount what was down. We're asking with a caveat that it be hardwired rather than solar powered if possible because of all the trees on that. couple of things. I have personally, in the last 2 months, been observing what happens when gas trailer that's out or the people slow down maybe 10 miles per hour, which means that when I'm watching at odd times, people are going a minimum of 35 miles an hour. A lot of the time they're going 45. It does slow the traffic down. It also would allow that trailer that's been out all of the time used elsewhere in the village. About it. I'm very passionate about this. I personally saw it come down, and that's what started my dialogue with Chief back in the fall. Kathy also, and Don's been very passionate over the years. So I respectfully request that you reattach it. We're not asking you to spend money to replace it. Please understand that. It's simply putting back up what was there.
Can we get some clarity before we open for more discussion about what's the current status? You know, what's there? Because I drove up the other day, and there's one right over the tracks. I think there may be another one farther up, and there's one. There may be three along Badger. Well, I'm just asking what's there right now. That's what I'm asking. What's there right now?
Yes.
So in front of Dennis' house.
Well, yeah, so as we go from the south to the north, how many radar?
Yeah, from like Lake Street all the way to North Avenue.
So there's one in the 1400 block of Thatcher, one in the 1100 block of Thatcher, one in the 500 block of Thatcher, and one now in the, I believe, 200 block of Thatcher.
All for northbound?
One of them is for southbound, for the one in the 500 block of Thatcher.
That one's southbound, okay. So there are three already on Thatcher, one on the 200 block, one on the 1100 block, and one on the 1400 block.
Northbound traffic, and then the one in the 500 block for southbound.
All right. So, you know, my proposal is if we want one on the 900 block, we move the one on the 1100 block to the 900 block. But I don't see the justification for four northbound radar detected signs on Thatcher.
For one street.
Well, let me see what let's let the commissioners speak, and then we can.
I think based on other streets.
I'm not getting anything.
How many houses is a block?
The 1100, the one that's 1100 is right over the railroad tracks just to the north of your house. So as you're going north, there's one down near Lake on the 200 block. Then you go quite a ways without one. Sounds like there used to be one on the 900 block. And then there's the 1100 block, and then there's one on the 1400 block. I don't think anybody's opposed to having mounted signs. It's just a matter of the spacing that's appropriate street. And if there are already three, at least it seems to me that if there's a question of reallocating them or remounting them, removing them to get a more efficient use of the signs, that to me makes the most sense. Marie, do you comment on that?
May I just speak?
We don't mind using the mic, Duncan here.
I'm not sure. I don't think there is anything between Lake Street and Chicago. There's one going south, 500 block. There is
not
one.
Well, we just confirmed that there's one on the 200 block.
200 block is going south. It was
down here.
It was
the 200 block is down here, right? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
that's
there was
a new one. Right.
Okay, so there, I do not believe there is one between Lake and Chicago. And then you go from Chicago all the way now to the tracks. So the speed, once people turn off of Chicago, accelerates until you get in front of my house. And then they start to see the flashing sign over the tracks, and maybe they slow down. Maybe.
there's probably a higher need for something northbound south of Chicago than another one north of Chicago. Right now, there's one at the 500 block for southbound, and you're wanting three north of Chicago by your proposal.
Sir?
You want three north of Chicago,
sir,
correct?
Sir, I'm not asking for anything.
I'm just asking, the result of your request would be three radar-detected signs north of Chicago,
honestly,
correct?
I'm only concerned about the one on the
north. No, but the result of your request would be three radar signs north of Chicago. You want one on the 900 block, the 1100 block, and the 1400 block.
1100 block was put up after the 900 was taken down for whatever reason.
So does your petition, did you address moving the one from the 1100 block to the 900 block?
Peter asked us to get the people on the 900 block to sign the petition requesting that the that was on the 900 block be reinstalled. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay,
what we did.
But the result of that would be a radar pole mounted sign on the 900 block, the 1100 block about, 100 feet later, and then the 1400 block. That would be the result if this request were granted.
Fine with me.
Okay, it is fine with you, but that makes no sense, at least to me, and I don't know about other members of that commission.
In my yard with me?
No, I don't. I'm familiar with the street. I've driven the street. I'm just saying in my view, and we can vote on, we'll vote on this, there needs to be a proper allocation of the resources along that stretch, and having three pole-mounted signs within basically five blocks is not a good use of resources, in my opinion.
Can I make a comment? Just,
sure.
Because I do live on the street, and I noticed that. I think stretch of Thatcher Avenue between Chicago Avenue and North Avenue is unique in the sense that there is absolutely no speed control. There's no stops. There's no bump outs. There's no there's nothing that slows down traffic in that stretch. So there's a propensity for people to go much faster there than they certainly do in the River Forest controlled area from Chicago Avenue to Lake Street. So I think it's a good use of our dollars, our tax dollars, to expend money on those signs because we need something to slow these people down. And it's not a silver bullet. It's not going to solve the problem. But I think an investment of $15,000 towards that, even though you might think, well, that's way too many of them, I think it's a unique stretch of road. And it causes people to go faster. And anything that in their minds, they look at something is going to slow them down a couple miles an hour, which will benefit the people that live on that.
All right, let me be clear. I have no problem moving the 1100 block sign to the 900 block. But I personally object to having a sign on the 900 block and then one on the 1100 block. They're like less than like 200 feet away from each other right now.
200 blocks, right? So if it's like 500,000, like if there's a
what in your mind is the
distance.
Correct distance for these things to be apart?
I don't think that they make sense when you can see them both together, was in a line of sight. You see two signs. If you had one in the 900 block and one on the 1100 block, as you're driving north from Chicago Avenue, you can see them both. You can see the one that's the one right now on the 1100 block, in my opinion, is not very well located because it's right as you go over the railroad tracks. It's right there. So I'm not objecting to your.
Is it on the turn or is it
It's just over
from?
You.
Just
you go
over
the railroad
the
tracks
over?
And it's right okay. there. So I'm not objecting to the proposal
the turn too.
To put one on, and then you go around the
and
corner
you go around, and then,
right.
another
and then
one
you
there.
See another one on the
yeah.
1400
right.
block.
Well, should we perhaps ask the staff to take a look and make recommendations? I'm sure there's some study out there that says. These are most effective X number of feet apart. I don't know what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, and the other thing.
Do you do one? We've got one on the corner there, just past Division. Do you move one down to the 900 block? Do we need one
further down? I don't know the answer. But
I mean, we could do a study, but, you know.
Well, I guess don't want
to
study.
Sorry to be impatient here, but I guess my view is there's a pretty easy fix. Move the one from the 1100 block to the 900 block.
Plus, isn't it next year the whole relaying of the roads to being due to the bike preserve, bike road is coming up next year?
Right.
So it's going, both are going to become single lane.
Right.
Correct.
No, excuse me. Let's let the commission address the questions, and then we'll turn it back over to you to comment. Don't mind.
Hey, Doug, can I speak?
A second. We've got Arun, and then John, we'll turn it over to you.
Thank you.
No, the only question was, are they going to do other stop signs and things different once the bike lanes come in next year? That might change how speed and everything is.
Right. So, John, I don't know if you could hear. So Arun's referring to, at the last meeting, I think we discussed that there's a plan afoot to add bike lanes in that stretch north of Chicago. And so one of the questions is, there may be readjustment if that work gets done.
No, I realize I've been at all the meetings, and I know we're doing some work over there. I don't know why there's a speed sign on the 1100 block, but for some reason they took it down on the 900 block and re-erected it on the 1100 block. So I'm in agreement with Chairman Reese about if we're going to relocate, we take down the 1100 because that's coming into the big curve, and then it slows them down again as we get into the 1400 block. But I don't know how close to the corner, I think it's Iowa, between the 800 block and the 900 block, the already erected post is. But my only opinion is, yes, two signs should be plenty until we get the whole study done and we decide what we're going to do. And if we do just want to move the one from the 11 to the 8 or to the 900, that's fine. But as this progresses, I think telling people they need to slow down towards the end of the 800 block or the beginning of the 900 block is more appropriate than, let's say, midway through the 900 block. But the point is, there's already a post erected that had the sign on it. In while we're doing this study, I'm in complete agreement to relocate the 1100 block sign to the 900 block at this time.
Do you oppose that, Emery?
No.
You want more? You.
I think
no audio, Peter. I'm getting no audio.
I think one, there is, these aren't no cost. That's number one. And two, look at, I'm not a psychologist, but you know, my view is that it's just like people blowing through stop signs. When you have too many stops, it's too many signs right in a row, I think they get ignored. And so the idea of having one speed sign at the 900 block and one blocks later in the 1100 block is superfluous and really doesn't give you any value added.
And I mean, spending money in a short term, if we know in a year things are going to change with the lanes, then spending $15,000 for a one-year gain does not seem like the right
thing. That's right. And it also, in just a second, and it could, we do things incrementally here. And so it could turn out that if the move is to move the sign from the 1100 to the 900, and if that doesn't work, you know, then I don't know if the answer is to reinstall one on the 1100 block or if there may be an answer to do something else to address speed in that section, which could include some of the work that's being discussed with respect to bike lanes, which could also affect speed.
There's no money right now.
Five years. We're proposing to reinstall and basically resort it to the status quo that it was, which is if your sign was relocated to the 1100 block, if that's what happened, what we're proposing is that we move it back from the 1100 block to the 900 block, wherever that post is, and I agree with Mr. Osga. I mean, we could defer to the Public Works about where it's most, you know, useful. If it's right, you know, I don't particularly care, but I have no objection, and I don't hear any objection from the commission to suggest removing the 1100 block and replacing it on the 800 or the 900 block, wherever is most appropriate. And then, you know, to the other comments, if that doesn't work and if there are still additional problems along that stretch, we would revisit that. You know, and so I don't know that we would be saying no to some future change, but I just have my doubts that the best answer is then having another sign, another, you know, block away. I just personally don't see that being an effective use of resources, or not just use of resources, but effective in achieving the goal that you want.
And Doug?
Let's put one on every block.
Can you guys hear me?
Sorry, Don, can you speak up there so that John Strazga can hear you?
If there is, my view would be we can assess that after we make this change. If there's some evidence to suggest that an additional sign in the future would be effective in slowing traffic, then it would seem to me that we consider that in the future if it turns out that it's not effective.
I don't know the answer.
And I don't want you to feel like we're trying to block your well-thought-of ideas of how to reduce traffic. The problem is everybody who comes here thinks their idea and their block or their house needs to be protected. There's accidents in every house, and everybody has an emotional connection to the village, and they say this. So if we start putting stop signs and flashing lights and zebra crossing, everywhere somebody says it, the whole village would be striped up with things. So we have to make an educated decision. At the same time, help your cost, which is move it to the 900 block. If on the second round we find that still people are really going fast, not curtailing themselves, like they slow down by her house but blasting off, then maybe other methods, which might not be a sign, but maybe sometimes the police give tickets there, then they kind of, other methods are there. So we can consider all that. Even though I think you feel like it would be best to do this now, it's not a biased opinion that because you're asking, we're not doing it. It's just a systematic way of processing.
Well, the other thing I would say is that with respect to how best placed, I mean, you raise a fair question, which is, you know, we shouldn't be just using our gut. But generally, we, A, defer to Public Works to use their best judgment on the placement of the sign. So we usually don't micromanage the placement. And then second, I think as we discussed either at the last meeting or the meeting before, I think the Village Board has approved a more comprehensive village-wide study. And so I think as part of that study where they do use traffic engineers, it would be appropriate for the engineers to consider the placement, the spacing of the signs, because maybe they will come back and say either A, more radar signs would be appropriate, or B, maybe there's some other traffic calming device that would be appropriate, because obviously controlling speed is a chronic problem. We know particularly on Thatcher that that's a problem, but it's also a problem in other parts of the village, and it's a persistent problem that we have to deal with, which is really how best to deal with speed. Yeah, I saw that Oak Park just approved a table, and you know, it's a table instead of a speed bump. And so, you know, there are a number of other options that could be considered at some point. And, you know, I think at this point we're trying to be responsive to your request, which I don't hear any objection to reinstalling the sign on the 900. But the objection that I'm raising, and I think other people agree with, is that if we're going to do that, at least as a first step, we ought to remove the one from the 1100, put it down on the 800 or 900, and then assess and, you know, consider next steps, you know, in the future as needed.
Chairman Reese, if I understand correctly, the current sign is just north of the tracks on the east side of the street.
Correct. Northbound,
so,
yeah.
Tell me if I'm wrong, but 80% of the people driving there slow down to go over the tracks. Well, a lot of people do.
Some people also probably get airborne, you know.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know,
but my point is moving it from just over the tracks
to just south.
Maybe it's not as effective as it could be in the 900 block. I don't see a problem with moving it down 200s.
Doug?
So
Anne-Marie, go ahead.
I wanted to speak to that. People do blow over the tracks both ways. We can't currently control anything happening going south because Chicago to North Avenue is owned by the state of Illinois. But my fear is Don's getting so used to now having people slow down before they go over those tracks that please take this under advisement, that having the two actually works. Slow people down and then keep them from blowing over the tracks and blowing through the 1100 block of Thatcher through Division and Thatcher, which is another issue.
If I may, just looking at the spacing here, I'm agreeing with you. You know, we've got one near Greenfield around that corner, which is very effective in my opinion. I always slow down whenever I see that thing. Moving it down to the middle there, which is around the 900 block, that's kind of in between Chicago and the railroad tracks. We've got the one heading southbound on Thatcher. I think it's the 500 block. And then south of Hawthorne, we've got one going north, and we've got the new one going south. The only thing we don't have is one going south, north of Chicago. That's the two lanes where people are, my experience, much quicker than going, you know, if you're doing 25 going north, the people are stuck behind you. You're doing 25 south, the guy's going to blow by you 45 until they get to Chicago, where it's and goes down to, you know, two lanes. But no, I mean, for this particular thing, I'm in agreement. Let's move it to the 900 block. And then, to me, that looks like pretty good spacing with the equipment we have at this moment. I think there was an issue with the southbound, putting one up in the southbound because it's Park District land or something, or Cook County. Forest Preserve.
And I think there was, Rick, I think the one that we did recommend and that ended up being installed between Lake and Oak, southbound one, I remember residents on that block were here and making a similar pitch. I think they would have probably preferred one both north and south. I think at the time, again, we deferred to Public Works, and I think we decided on balance to put the one southbound there. I mean, because you could make the same argument that...
Well, there's one north about one block up. The next is one north of...
So north would be this.
But there's
there's a northbound... I'm looking at the wrong thing. There's a northbound, north of Washington Boulevard.
Oh, there is. I'm talking about between Lake and Chicago.
Oh, yeah, yes, yes, yes. I'm sorry.
Although what you do get between Lake and Chicago, there is the flashing crosswalk at Oak. Back to the extent there.
Right.
Street.
So and it's two lanes there.
And one more thing, Commissioner Reeves. As you cross the Division, I've noticed that there is a speed sign, not a flashing sign, but just a speed sign, and it automatically makes me slow down. As you curve by Concordia, you know, there's a Dominican, there's a stop speed sign, not a flashing one.
The speed limit.
Speed limit. And that's pretty good. It controls. So if we want to help them a little more, one way, because these flashing signs are more expensive, we could always put a speed limit sign in the current position and move the flashing sign to them. Would that, would you guys consider that if we put a speed limit sign in the current position of the flashing light, and then move the flashing speed sign to the 900 block. So he'll get a speed limit sign, but it won't be flashing. So once they cross the rail tracks, at least it will say speed limit is 25.
Right. So the proposal would be to move the existing radar sign from the 1100 block to the 900, reinstalling it on the 900 consistent with your petition. And then either where that sign was removed or if there's another appropriate place on the 1100 block to install a speed limit sign so that at least there would be a reminder in that stretch that the speed limit's 25.
That works in the curve.
Yeah.
Sometimes as you speed up, once you see the speed limit, automatic reaction is to slow down. And I think if we put that, at least it'll solve your problem of having nothing there.
Would you like to make a motion to that effect, Arun?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion.
Well, sorry, let me just jump in. James brought up a good point that area, but if we are adding signs,
both sides from Chicago Avenue to North Avenue is IDOT controlled road. The west side of the street is Forest Preserve land. So much fun. I believe it wouldn't be a problem.
If we were tasked to just add a speed limit sign, is it your comment that that's something that we could request, but that IDOT would have to approve it? Just add a speed limit, even though it's the existing speed limit by ordinance, just to put the sign up, they would have to approve that?
Yeah, IDOT takes a pretty aggressive approach to, villages putting equipment or signs on their property. We're to the point in the past with the village's experience where on Lake Street, different traffic control devices have been installed, and then Illinois Department of Transportation strongly recommended that we remove them before they did.
Well, could we at least, as you know, I think Anne-Marie and you guys know that, our recommendations are non-binding, but we could make a recommendation to at least replace the existing radar mounted sign from the 1100 block to the 900 block. That would seem to me to be one motion. And then maybe we have a separate, whether it's a request or a motion, at least for the village to consider seeking permission as needed to install a speed limit sign on the 1100 block at an appropriate location, if it's subject to IDOT approval, to at least see if we could seek that approval.
Are we allowed to re-sign existing signs? Like there is the crosswalk, the rail track sign. Can you add additional to that existing sign?
I don't know.
Or even if it's an existing sign.
Just as a reminder, you fought for that crosswalk at Keystone and Lake that took 2 years to get approved.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it was 2 years. Working with IDOT is a horrible thing.
Well, let's make the request.
Yeah.
Unless there's a reason not to ask, maybe we ought to at least make the request.
We can't even re-sign the existing sign.
Like Chairman Reese said.
Why don't we make it as two motions?
Why don't we do the first motion to move the sign from the 1100 block flashing sign to the 900 block?
Second.
Any more discussion on that? Mm-hmm. More questions from you on that one?
No.
Okay.
Maurice?
Yes.
Yes.
Wolf?
Yes.
Wait.
Yes.
Common?
Yes.
Osco?
Yes.
And Arun, would you like to make
a
second
motion? Can
we
make a second motion to request IDA to have us put in a speed limit sign at the original space where the flashing light sign was,
or
somewhere near
on that block? It may not be best. I don't know if it's best located right over the railroad tracks or somewhere else on that block.
Somewhere on the block.
On the 1100 block.
On the 1100 block. Yes.
Reese?
Yes.
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 Commissioner Bosco?
Yes.
Right. Sorry for being testy. But so we'll make that recommendation. It'll go to the village board. You heard that obviously it sounds like maybe even trying to put in a speed limit sign up there in the 1100 block may be challenging, but we'll make that request to IDOT. And then, you know, I think that if we know speed is a consistent problem, so, it, you know, if there needs to be other attention paid to that area, you know, we're open to considering other ideas. And that would be best, then we could put it on the agenda and have people
yes.
prepare the meeting.
Yeah, we'll have a
and you're welcome to stay or go. I think we're going to have a presentation from Officer Greenwood, you know, because one of the things is that in our commission here, we're always suggesting a lot of things, just like you saw today. And we're not always aware of what the issues are from the police department's perspective. Yeah, exactly. Exactly, I agree. Okay.
Fortunately for you, you'll be very familiar with this format. It's just updated information from the meeting we had in January.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you. Thanks, Rick.
Just a second. I have to log
looking
into the
you,
device.
Right,
exactly.
Looking at me.
Exactly.
Sorry about the clear. It's a little more here.
Well,
than
actually,
I
do. Oscar,
no,
we'll be able to see
sorry
you.
For that kind of glare. We need a little makeup.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can email you the.
You can
Peter, when you speak, I get nothing, just to let you know.
We're just having a sidebar right now trying to get the technology working.
No, I got it. But it also says he's muted every time he speaks on my computer and I can't hear a word through the whole meeting when he speaks.
We were moving TVs around and such.
Nice. Nice.
We're just modifying our original plan here. So we're going to, I'm going to sign into the Zoom meeting so that I can screen share the presentation that I have here. So just give us a second. That's going to, a little bit of clicking around.
Thank you.
Recording in progress. You're signing to.
Did I just steal the meeting from you?
You didn't know. Oh, try.
Hey, John, can you see that?
I can, yes.
Hey, this is Jim Greenwood. I'm the patrol commander with the River Forest Police Department. This is a traffic crash analysis presentation, and there's other information here regarding our traffic enforcement for the first quarter of 2022, for the calendar year 2022. So during this period of time, there have been 10 injury accidents, 69 injuries, 17 hit and runs for a total of 87, and 5.7% to be exact were on Thatcher. Originally, this presentation was done when we were meeting with the folks from Thatcher. So you'll see a bit of a breakdown where it takes the bigger enforcement picture and boils it down to more specifics.
And officer, if you go into this, does a hit and run mean any kind of accident of either property or person, and then the person takes off?
Yes.
Okay.
Just the whole block of Thatcher, just because the way it's broken down, I'm working on a mapping tool that's separate from this, that's interesting adventure into using our records management system to play nice with a GPS located map. A little bit of a project. I have to figure out what the mathematical equation is that the CAD system's using to. Yes, exactly. So if you have one, just let me know. I'll take it. This is a crash study by days of week, broken down, where it's interesting in the fact that you'd think Tuesday wouldn't be the busiest day for accidents, but it is for whatever reason. And Saturday and Sunday are not that big of a surprise, just because weekends more people are out driving during the day and at night, where during the week a lot of people are captive to their home office or their office.
You know if those midweek Tuesday, Wednesday is an anomaly, or do you know if that was what you've seen in the past?
I believe it's pretty consistent. Overall, the taking out the periods of time where there were lockdowns in place and people had to stay home for their health reasons and mandates, it's pretty consistent. There's not a big uptick one way or the other.
Okay.
And really, it's you're talking the difference between 19 and 15, so even though it's still like a small sample size,
yeah.
Small village, small sample. So next slide, this is a time of day. Again, this is no surprise. The busiest time would be during rush hour and in the afternoon and in the morning. So that makes sense. But again, this would be a great place to see if there was an anomaly where all of a sudden we started seeing more traffic accidents at 4 o'clock in the morning. That would raise some concerns. But we use this different information to target enforcement in not only different areas like we'll get to, but also the days of the week and again by the times of day. The way that the department approaches traffic enforcement is we use the data-driven response to accidents like we just looked at there, including locations, which like I said, I'm still working on requests from community members, and that might just be a phone call to the police department. Like I've spoke with both folks in the audience over the phone in the past and several other residents. Like, hey, I noticed Lemoyne and Bonnie Bray's really busy as an example, you know, as a cut through, so we do enforcement there, and that's just the directed enforcement from either the chief, me, or from a shift supervisor. And then officers also focus on the problem child children of driving, you know, the unlicensed drivers, reckless drivers, the people that are the ones that everybody really gets upset about, the people going 90 down Thatcher. And that's pretty hard to do, but not going to test anybody and ask them to. Here's some of the traffic missions that our different patrol shifts ran during January of 2022, and then it you'll see repeats. I did March 22 and obviously February 22. The midnight shift focused their area based on or their patrol pattern on mapping and accidents. With less traffic during the night hours overnight, we don't want to limit them to say there's not going to be much traffic on Thatcher. So it would be a, kind of sitting in a sitting at the side of a stream, to use Commissioner, I don't want to murder your last name, Osgush. Did I get it right? Okay. He's fishing yes. right now. And so you wouldn't want to drop your line in an empty pond. And that's what it would be on Thatcher in the middle of the night. So the midnight shift, they used the mapping and accidents that occurred during their shift to target their enforcement areas. During January, they made 108 stops, issued 79 citations.
By the way, this is where John should make the joke. That's why it's called fishing, not catching.
Ah.
So it's okay. It's okay to drop it in there.
I'll give you a minute if you want to throw something back.
Sorry, I can't. I wasn't that fast from all the way up here. If I were live, I would have been right on it, Doug.
And again, 14 traffic arrests. The day shift, these were the target areas that they used, Madison, Thatcher, Chicago, and Lake. And the afternoon shift with, again, having the busier traffic time and the busier traffic accident time.
Can you define day shift?
Day shift would be from 7 in the morning till, 6:30 in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Afternoon shifts, 2:30 in the afternoon until 11 o'clock at night. And the midnight shift starts at 10:30 at night and goes until 7 in the morning.
Thank you.
So midnight shift.
One quick question. Yeah. How many cars are out for each shift? I know it's a little bit late. Oh, you tell me.
So typically it's four.
Even overnight?
Yes. Midnights on Mondays and Tuesdays, which would be Sunday night to Monday, Monday night to Tuesday, can go to three. But most other shifts, that's only two times of the week that we drop to three. During the day, obviously, there are more officers around with administrative officers assigned to detectives, to community policing, myself, the chief. So, and we're not afraid to go out and help people, remind them to slow down ourselves. So,
I'll make one comment,
sure.
Which is very obvious. Day shift and afternoon shift, they're busy doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Compared to over midnight shift, they don't have to go to Jewel and pick up the
retail theft offender because yep. Jewel's closed. They don't have the volume of traffic accidents.
Right.
Because it's
but less they're doing
busy.
A lot of stops.
Yeah. So they supplement the downtime by using the time appropriately, which is going out and trying to find, again, that time of night is typically your DUI time or your reckless driving because less traffic, it seems, it's intuitive to all of us because we drove before. You'd think less traffic would mean slower, but less traffic means open road and fly.
Yeah.
So, a lot of the midnight shift will spend time on North Avenue, Harlem Avenue, Lake Street. There's not really a mystery to it. You go where the most cars are, and again, fishing reference, plug it in here, you get it. Overnight, yeah. We have some, they're on afternoon shift towards the back half of the shift, and again, once in a while you'll have the day shift DUI, which is definitely an anomaly, but it happens. And it could be early in the afternoon shift where they would have something like 3, 4, or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It happens, but again, it's relatively rare when it comes to DUIs. And I think you've already all had an opportunity to see the numbers, but you've commented on them, so I won't bore you to death by PowerPoint, and I'll go to the next slide to show you February.
Is Harlem sure. covered by Oak Park?
So we share Harlem Avenue with Oak Park, where IDOT doesn't like to share. The police departments like to share. So Madison Street we share with Forest Park. Harlem Avenue we share jurisdiction with Oak Park. They have primary jurisdiction on the east side of the street, and we have primary on the west side of the street. But exactly, yeah. Kind of right down the middle of the road. So these were the results on Thatcher that, like I said, I had boiled them down further just to call the data out of here and bring it and put it in here. Again, midnight shift isn't reflected on here because there might be stops on Thatcher, but they wouldn't be significant enough. So again, here are the numbers where day shift and afternoon shift made about the same number of stops. Day shift a little bit more as far as citations that month. And the warnings are appropriate with the ratio of, you know, trying to do driver education as well as enforcement. You don't want to write every single person a ticket because then it's just, and there are people and reasons that, you know, even the big bad police take into consideration because we're human too and we make mistakes just like the driver down the road. So it's all taken into consideration.
Sir, is an arrest usually a DUI or can it be as like a warrant or
so? A traffic
things?
Arrest is typically going to be driving while license suspended. So a person who's had their rights to, or their privileges to drive revoked by the Secretary of State's office, revoked driving, again, the same thing where typically a revoked driver is somebody that has had a DUI in their past.
I see.
And the Secretary of State suspends their license, or no valid driver's license where the person never was issued a driver's license and they're driving.
Is the citation a subset of a stop, or is it in a stop different?
No, it would be a subset of the stop. So you have a number of stops, and then, and these are moving violations. This doesn't account for all violations. I'll explain that as I keep going along, because we have the ability to write compliance citations as well, where you somebody has an equipment violation, rather than writing them the state ticket where they have a single ticket for a headlight out, and then they have to either mail in the check to the secretary, I'm sorry, to the Cook County Clerk's office for a significant amount of money, close to $200, or request traffic safety school for their headlight being out, which again has a cost, or going to court, which costs time off of work, and then possibly the same result, $200 fine. We have the alternative to write them a $30 citation where it's get your headlight fixed. You know, I can't make your problems go away, but I can help you at least not, you know, hit you as hard for something as minor. It's serious, but it's not as serious as driving 70 miles per hour down the road, you know.
So just make sure I understand. So day shift, there were 27 moving violation related stops, of which 24 ended in citations.
So I believe I misspoke while I was looking at this. This is the compliance citations and moving violations together. But
okay.
Yes. Well, there's the other issue is there can be multiple citations issued on one stop. So if a driver has, an example would be you pull somebody over for speeding, they don't have insurance for the vehicle, and with them, or they don't have it, and they have no license plate on the front of their car, or no plates at all.
So that could be
so
three
then
citations.
You write them three.
Okay,
you
so there
can.
Were 27 cars that were stopped.
Yes.
Of which 19 were given warnings only. So 8 were given. But maybe multiple 8 cars.
Right, and the way the
that, am I understanding that correctly?
You could be right. But I don't believe it's that far skewed but I see what you're reading and I understand what you mean. The way that information is collected, we have one system that collects one bit of information and another system that collects the other. And I tried to synthesize it to make it presentable, because if I pulled, there's no way, sorry, for me to actually extract it in a very pure form like what I'd like to see. But you could be
at a
right.
High level, 27 cars were stopped.
Yes.
And some of them ended in citations, and
yes.
Some of them ended in warnings, and some of them ended in arrests.
Yes.
They're not necessarily additive because they could be multiple happening.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So
and it could have been a cross, meaning you got your speeding ticket, but then you got a warning for no insurance.
It's,
oh yeah. Oh. Well, you don't need the details, but the
oh,
way
no, no.
I'm reading
doing
it.
The, oh boy, because my computer's getting angry.
Need a plug.
Okay. I'll be right back.
I've got it in my office. I'm just running.
When he's going to get it, can you, if you're able to touch his computer, go back to the hourly? Harry, can you go back to the hourly slide? The citation.
That's 16:05, so it's what, 4 o'clock
to 7 p.m.
Seven. Yeah,
one to four.
And then 7 to 10 in the morning. The third bar is 7 to 10 in the morning. And then the. Yeah. The yellow, the 21 is morning. That's 7 to 10 in the morning. And then the 14 in the yellow, that's 10 to 1, it looks like.
I mean, the numbers are very close. If you look, 25, 26,
statistically
21.
Similar, given this.
Yeah.
He also means there's an error. Mines the numbers, so it's not like you're requesting exact conversion factor like you calculated.
Right, right.
I think there's an, when you pull from two systems, there's some drop-off in numbers.
Yeah.
Your numbers. So.
I'm sure. The high level is that the majority is in the afternoon hour.
It's happy now.
Thank you for the patience. Is there any other questions? I know you guys further discussed that while I was running down the hall. Midnight shift, again, this is February, so it's the following month. They stepped up their enforcement a little bit. I'm trying to remember, but actually they stepped it down a little bit. But this is February. Remember February, it was weak and cold. So traffic does cut down, fortunately, when it does get nasty out. And when it's slippery out, people actually do slow down, which is nice. But we don't want it to be like that for a day like today over that. Again, here are the results for day shift and afternoon shift. The 54 stops, 47 citations, like you mentioned, and 19 warnings. So if you add the 19 to the 47, obviously that's more than 54, but it's the issue where you have multiple citations being issued on a single stop. And the, like, a traffic arrest, for example, might be 5 tickets. So it might be, account for 30 of them. It doesn't.
Yeah.
Typically,
yeah,
it's like 2 or 3. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it's confusing. Trust me. When I was doing this, I'm like, how do you make this make sense?
Thank you.
But thank you for catching it, too. It's harder to explain than it is to see. And then here's Thatcher results for day shift and afternoon shift for February. And again, no traffic arrests. That's, you don't know when you're going to pull a car over, if it's going to be somebody that's going to be valid or not valid, or midnight's DUI or afternoon shift, late in the shift DUI, typically. And then moving on to, that was me. March, similar numbers here. The same, very similar targeted areas. It's not that big of a mystery because, again, if you look at the roads that are typically being enforced, there are arterial streets, our main streets, on all three shifts. And then, of course, there's subsets like, you know, Lemoyne, which seems like a bizarre place, but we've had a lot of citizen input about the Lemoyne and Bonnie Bray, or Lemoyne being a cut through, which is why the village is doing the study for the northwest quadrant of town. And again, more results for Thatcher only, just kind of culling that information down. So January through March, there were 864 stops. This is where I can break it down a little bit further, because this is where I could pull it back apart. 514 moving violations, the compliance violations, like I mentioned, which are, or citations, which are the a $30 ticket rather than a $200 ticket, and 350 warnings. And then for Thatcher, the moving violations were 277 with 152 moving violations and 125 warnings. And this, so I did went into another system. It's one of the systems I use for something else, but about 30% or 29.5% of all moving violations for the whole village so far from January to March were violations on Thatcher, and 32% of all the stops village-wide for the year, January to March, were violations that occurred on Thatcher. So I've been here for 25 years. Before I was here, probably the 25 years before that, and the 25 years before that, Thatcher's always been a place where the police know that people are speeding. People that drive through town know that the police are there waiting for them to speed, but they still come through and they speed.
Are the rest pretty well distributed? So is like Thatcher the biggest plurality by far?
It's one of the places where, well, I always viewed it like this when I was in patrol, so it's anecdotal, but it's true. You have a road that people can drive very quickly through, but you also have a lot of families that live on one side of the block for the most part, till you get to further south of Chicago. And I always just viewed it, you know, if you're sitting on Thatcher running traffic, like, you know, doing traffic enforcement with your radar unit, and you look over and you see a little girl who used to live at the corner, she's probably like 25 now, I don't even know, you know, playing out front with her little, you know, her little cars or her little toys, it just kind of reminds you why you're there, and it motivates you to keep doing it. So where you have other streets, it's a lot harder to speed down, but they do, you know, down Augusta, but people do. The road's more narrow. There's stop signs throughout the area. And so we're excited as far as the police department goes about the comprehensive traffic study, because we think it'll address some concerns, maybe the Thatcher concerns, maybe different solutions with engineering, technology. Maybe it's a speed table like we talked about with Oak Park, just passing that. It's temporary because they're going to study to see if it's effective. So we're really excited about that opportunity the village is taking to really blow that study out even further than just that one quadrant of town. And then this is the time spent in enforcement just for traffic for the whole town from January to March. I broke it down. Basically, it comes out, not basically, mathematically comes out to 12 days and eight hours just of traffic enforcement. And that's just doing traffic stops, making traffic arrests, and a pretty big number considering the other duties that we have the luxury of accommodating. And then, of course, you know what these are, traffic enforcement equipment. This was included for presentation purposes. And then there's little Dan Humphreys with his radar gun and some of the other equipment we use and things that you see throughout the village.
Do you have anecdotally an opinion about how those work?
The radar units?
Yeah, just different devices.
They're amazing.
Do you think that there are certain devices that are more effective?
The devices we currently use are really wonderful, and they're technologically more advanced than what I started with, where you have moving radar where you can be driving one direction and the radar's actually monitoring the speed of the oncoming traffic. So you don't necessarily have to be sitting still. You can run the radar unit to run the radar behind you, in front of you, not around you. That would be a little crazy. But so it's really great equipment. There are other devices out there like LIDAR, which is laser devices. They're significantly more expensive. And for the stretches of road we have, it's typically used like in bigger stretches, like the state police uses LIDAR, or a county sheriff where they have, you know, you're on I-55 and they're waiting a mile down the road and you get the ticket that says how many feet you were away.
Do you have an opinion on this spacing issue that we talked about, or do you think that's something that should be more left to engineers, but do you have a sense?
I think it's a good solution for now. And I think, you know, as members of the commission said, you know, the comprehensive study, I think, is really going to help one way or the other figuring out other ideas or other suggestions or other devices that would better suit the whole village, but specifically for Thatcher. If it's a speed in that speed limit sign's a great idea. Hopefully that can happen, and I'm optimistic that it will be. But I believe the 900 Thatcher was originally chose because of the spacing. It was moved because it had a charging problem because of the solar issue with trees along Thatcher. So that'll be something that we'll have to work with the village in the village administration and the board on. If that pole needs to actually be electrified and 24-hour electrified versus sensor electrified, because then the only time the traffic sign would go on would be at night. It wouldn't work during the day. So that was one of the reasons it was originally moved, was due to that reason. And then 1100 block of Thatcher has a lot more sun just because of the road widens out a little bit there and you've got division and there's less trees. And for whatever reason, that's just a little, it's brighter. Because you're there. So
I've got a question, if I may. So the speed trailer.
Yeah.
For southbound Thatcher, could we put that? I know we can't put it in lane, but could we put it on the side on the forest preserve land somewhere on that strip between north and?
I believe we have in the past. The Metropolitan Water Reclamation District has their little that thing, they have a little shed over there. I believe we've used that pad over there or that location just north or south of that in the past to catch the people coming through the turns. It's just that location's almost too far north where it would seem better, where people have picked up a little bit more speed to remind them. But then you run into the issues of burying the speed trailer in the woods almost. And then is it visible because of especially this time of year when everything's popped out of the ground and is growing. And so it could be an issue with that. And then the forest preserver also could say, well, we don't like it there. And then we'd have to move it.
Right.
Typically, they wouldn't be
the what?
First to it.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious. Yeah. Only because my observation, I'm sure it's yours too.
Yeah.
When everyone turns off of North Avenue onto Thatcher, and when I'm doing 25,
it's time to go. Yeah.
They are passing me and they're doing 45, and then they turn left on
Augusta. Or they turn left on Augusta against the sign. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. They turn
where
left
they're not
on
supposed
Augusta.
To. So, I mean, you know. But yeah, or left on Division and or fly up to Chicago and cut everybody off to get to the left turn lane or realize the left turn lane's coming up and have to fly over into the straight driving lane to the southbound lane. Yeah, I've seen all kinds of interesting things, but it's the most fun section to drive if you're going to drive fast because, you know, if you want to pretend like you're in a sports car commercial, it's, you know, it's got the little S turns, like I call it.
It's the only curves in Illinois right there.
Yeah, that's it. They didn't put any else, yep. anywhere else. Anybody have any other questions? Or
I'll ask a question on behalf of Dave, who's not here, but maybe we've talked about this. Do some of the signs, are they able to collect data?
Yes. I believe Peter and I and Jeff and the chief are trying to work on getting that information, and Sergeant Grill from our admin sergeant, on figuring that all out. I believe you were talking to Marty actually just last week about that. So we were able to pull data from those, and then I know the village is invested in purchasing a device that it's not covert, but it collects data and doesn't look like anything, so it doesn't have blinky lights.
Yeah, because we get criticized for the studies that are collecting
because
data off of
the data gets modified by the performance of the driver due to the fact they see the blinky sign. So
that's good.
Now the Jeff, I believe, again, that was just last week, had he's waiting for it to come in. It's a device. It's just like, it looks like a silver box or a gray box or green. I don't know what color it is, but just a box put on a pole, and it's good to go. And it's
because I'm sure
movable. Yeah.
The results have got to be skewed when you see that.
And that's why there's times where you'll see these signs, and you'll see these signs in not necessarily in our jurisdiction, but around, and it won't be on, and you'll think it's not doing anything. They're using it to collect data. I know I see them. I have to drive quite a bit get to and from. So I see that, not trick, but that use of the device where it's not necessarily trying to, so, and when people think it's broken, that might modify their behavior or return it to what their norm is, which is, you know, drive as fast as you can and get there as quick as you can. That's like a whole thing. It's like its own little world. Yeah. Got it. You got it. Anytime.
I have an unrelated question before we
turn.
Yeah, in reading through last meeting's documents, there was a traffic study of Keystone and Linden. And in that traffic study, it talked about how there were no there was some repaving done, and there was a lot of repaving done in that area, and that there was not restriping done for the crosswalks. I walked around that area, which is also where I live, and there is a lot of restriping that was not done since the repaving that occurred last year. Most concerning to me is Hawthorne and Keystone, where many kids cross from the tracks across over to crossover on Hawthorne in between Gale and Keystone. So my question is that restriping going to be occurring sometime soon? Because there's significant reduction of crosswalks.
Of course. Of course, we do want to prioritize you know, the striping of sidewalks.
And the what? The what else?
The stop bars. You know how they. Like,
oh yes, right. Stop bars. Yeah, correct.
Sure.
Yeah, they're also mistakes.
Yeah.
Yep.
If there's a crosswalk that was supposed to be there, we will.
So it's scheduled there, like with the nice weather to
be adding
the stop signs. The painting is going to be on schedule for this.
Meaning that will happen in the next month or 5 months or?
Next month is our resurfacing project on Iowa, you know,
Is it normal for restriping to take a year after repaving is done?
Yeah. So, for one, contracts.
You know what? What they tend to do is they do all the striping at once for efficiency. So I think down there that was a fall project, right?
Mm.
Then you've got some spring projects going. You know, so it's gonna when they're done with the project,
right,
then the guy comes in and does all the striping at once.
There are so many kids that are crossing that street in particular, and baseball going on, and there's cars that are not stopping because there's no stop bar and there's no pedestrian. And I live close to there, but I've seen a lot of close misses, and I know the striping would make a difference.
So you get them in the spring, get them in the fall, the stripers.
Any other matters of business? All right, thank you guys for coming. Thank you. All right, motion to adjourn. Second?
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
By acclamation.
Aye. Thanks. Bye, John.
John,
good night.
Good night,
guys.
Good night.